podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hello, 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 this is Chris, and welcome to episode 31 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Yes, I've slowed down, I've been traveling, so I'm down to one episode a week here, but you know, I take it sort of with a grain of zen. Like my guest today is Danny Dreyer from the Chi Running organization. He runs the whole thing, and he wrote the book on Chi Running, and I'm going to interview him today. It's a little bit long, it's about 25 minutes, but it's good stuff. And we'll fit it all in into our prescribed close to 40-minute format. I read the book when it first came out, and I learned some points from it. But, you know, as runners, I think what you want to do is you want to take everything with sort of an open mind, and you want to strive to be a student of the sport, and you want to learn to incorporate the bits that work for you, because running's a really personal thing. And some things aren't going to work for you, some things are going to work for you, and some things you got to give some time. One of the things that the experts always say is it takes like 21 days or 3 weeks for you to incorporate any change. And some people it takes longer, some people it takes less. But, you know, strive to understand it. And there's really 3 points there, and that was the first point, right, that there are no really silver bullets. So don't look at these books as it's going to fix my running. You're pretty much dealt the hand you have, and you got to learn little bits from everything. The second point from Chi Running that I really liked was the mind-body connection. If you put all the mystic Chi stuff aside, there's definitely a mind-body connection in running. And some people get it and some people don't. When I was talking to Danny today, I came to understand that some people don't get this mind-body connection that seems so obvious to me. And, you know, what you have to do is when you're out running is, you know, listen to your body. Really listen to your body. Don't turn on the iPod. Just try to get inside yourself and listen to your body. Because if you do that, you can concentrate on your heartbeat and your breathing and your blood. And, you know, I'm no mystic, but I can affect my mind with my body and vice versa. You know, it works that way. Like when I go in to get a checkup and the nurse is taking my pulse, I can think about slowing down my pulse, and I can slow my pulse down by 10 to 15 beats a minute if I want to, just by thinking about it. So when you next time you go out running, try that. And the third thing I get from Chi Running is the form. You know, the Chi Running form is not anything real secret or new. Any good runner would tell you a lot of these bits. They'll just tell them to you differently. So as you learn to run more efficiently, as you learn to go longer, and as you learn to go faster, you're going to adopt a better form almost naturally. And it's sort of like, you know, I've had coaches tell me, try to think of it as running downhill or running lightly. And that same form is very close to the Chi Running form, that forward lean and that running lightly on your feet. So I'm going to talk a bit more about that in the tips section at the end after the interview. I'll play a little audio first, and then I'll get in the interview. I'll play some Matt audio. I was out in Denver this week at a convention, and I talked to Matt Runner from the podcast out there. It was pretty cool. We went for a run. He was kind enough to go running with me, even though I'm pretty slow right now. I'm still recovering from my ultra. It's now we're about 2 weeks out, and my quads are still tired. They're not sore. They're just tired. So something going on there. If you wanted my complete race report on my ultra, besides the podcast I did with all the guys who ran the ultra, my 50-mile race, I also wrote an 8-page race report on my website, runrunlip.com. It's been slow to recover. I'm really amazed. I usually don't take this long to recover. I ran Wednesday after the race on Sunday, and my foot hurt really bad. I went out and got it out at 10K, but I was really tired, and it really hurt. So Thursday I didn't run. I lifted weights, And then Friday I went for a trail bike ride, didn't run, took the weekend off. When I got to Denver on Monday, I went running. I ran Tuesday with Matt from the Dump Runners Club, took Wednesday off, and today I went on the treadmill, did some tempo work. I did 3x1 miles at 7 minutes just because I wanted to. I wanted to feel that. And again, my quads were a little tired at the end, so something's going on with my quads. I don't think I'm hurt. I think I'm just tired. So, you know, you learn new things every day. So, anyhow, I hope you enjoy the show, and I will try to squeeze it all in. Thank you for listening.
Let's see how the audio is. I'm not going to sit down.
Okay.
No, my legs are fine. Just my quads. They're tired. They're not sore. They're tired, right?
Yeah.
So. Now, this is Chris. I am at the dump.
The dump.
With Matt.
Oh, Denver's dump?
Denver's the dump. Where is the dump?
It's nowhere near here. It's, towards the mountains. I don't know. There's all over. Or to the north, you know.
So we just did 5-something. Slow mile. Slow jog for Matt.
No, it was good. It was good after my race on Sunday.
Good taper run.
Good way to ease into it.
Yeah, I got the jet lag going on. I'm really dehydrated. We went down and ran to Inesco Field?
Inesco Field.
Down the Platte River?
Yeah, the Platte River Path. The main running trail in the downtown.
That's the Denver Broncos' new stadium.
Yeah.
Giant stone eggs here.
Then there's a bear.
Yeah, the bear, right.
The blue bear pushing
the
up
blue bear.
The glass.
I'm at this conference that these guys are at, so the guys are there.
Yeah.
Good thing. Yeah, I want to get out of there, absolutely. I just talked to my admin and said, get me a plane ticket home. I'm sick of being here.
And now for our featured interview.
And we're back.
Hello.
Yeah, so anyhow, Danny Dreyer, Chief Running Officer of the Chi Running conglomerate of companies.
That's right.
The
world headquarters.
The world headquarters of Chi Running, with a lot of administrative, executive assistants running around, and scientists. So yeah, I mean, I got your book when it first came out, a long time ago. And do you remember working with Lynn Malloy over at Cool Running?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. Lindsay's a good friend of mine. So when it first came out, it sort of coincided with me running my truck into a tree and smashing my patella. So I was looking for a way to run without putting stress on my knee.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I was reading the book. I was interested in doing that.
Well, it's the way to do it, for sure.
Yeah, and it helped a little bit. The real answer was to stop running for a while. But, you know, being a runner, that's never the answer I want to hear.
Not your first option.
So it looks like you guys have grown substantially, or at least grown in terms of reach.
Yeah, we've grown quite a bit. In that book came out 4.5 years ago. Now, you know, in that 4.5 years, it's probably been one of the top 3 running books on Amazon for the entire time. I mean, we don't, you know, it's a very steady book right now. And then, you know, we've built the whole training programs around the book. So, you know, with our DVDs and our audio programs and stuff like that, it's really grown. And now we have probably about 120 instructors all over the world. And,
yeah.
And that's growing all the time, too. So, you know, it just seems to spread, and it's cool. And, you know, the interesting thing is that it has really spread mostly word of mouth. We have hardly advertised a cent, you know, none. And it's all word of mouth, and it's because people like it, and they just tell their friends about it.
No, it's propagating through the universal mastermind.
Somebody up there likes running.
Yeah, it's interesting. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's becoming so popular? Or you know, why do you think it's seeing the word of mouth it is?
Well, I think it's seeing the word of mouth it is, like I said, because it works. And if somebody has an injury and they want to work with it, or they want to get more efficient or faster or whatever they want to do, and they find a way that it actually happens, and not just a bunch of blowing smoke like, you know, running magazines and stuff like that, but actually something that actually helps, then they're going to just tell all their friends, like, you know what, this thing works, and you should check it out. And so a lot of people do it that way. We have doctors that are handing it out to their patients. We have, you know, podiatrists and personal trainers and stuff that just tell all their clients, you know, use it like a Bible. This is it. You don't want to have to pay your co-payment, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to get rid of paying your co-payment and coming in here, try this. It works. And, in fact, we just had an instructor training last weekend, and there were two medical doctors that came to the training to be instructors.
That's interesting.
Like so much, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Because you know, there must be some kernel of truth in there in order for it to spread like that. Because if there wasn't, people wouldn't do it, right?
If it didn't work, they wouldn't do it.
Right.
If it didn't work, they would like put the book, you know, sell it used on Amazon again.
Right.
Or get rid of it. But those people hang on to the book and use it, pretty adamantly and see results.
So what do you see as your target user, so to speak, in this? Is it the new runner or the person who's been out there for a while slapping around and says there's got to be a better way? I mean, what's your target audience?
The interesting thing is, you know, in all the classes I've taught and I've done lots of lectures too at marathon expos and fitness expos and stuff like that around the country, and it's a pretty wide range. We don't really, our target is to really improve the state of running as a sport. There's our target. And if that involves beginners who want to really find a new way to start off in a way that they're not going to hurt themselves eventually and learn to run more efficiently, that's great. And so that's the target. And if there's elite athletes that have come to us and said, you know what, I have knocked so much time off of my PRs that this is fabulous. And so there's people like that. There are people who are injured that want to come back. And I just, like, don't want to take no for an answer when the doctor says, you shouldn't run anymore because of this injury you've got. But people who just love running so much. And so, you know, it's really across the board. We don't have a target audience, to tell you the truth. Our target is running. You know, the running population, that's our target. Because it helps almost everybody at any level.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I've heard people talk about it and they've been frustrated with trying to adopt it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're already running, right? They already have a mechanic or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it makes them, you know, there's that in-between period where it feels clunky, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to get the mechanics. So I hear that. It's almost like when I took up triathlons and had to re-engineer my swim stroke because
mm-hmm.
I was already a strong swimmer, but I was a bad swimmer, right?
Exactly. You know, it's no different than, like it says in the book, like Tiger Woods. Now, how many times has he reworked his stroke? 3, I think.
Yeah.
Started on the tour. And, you know, every time he comes back and he kills everybody.
So what do you see with, you got somebody who's an experienced runner, maybe a mid-packer or whatever,
uh-huh.
that has to do some re-engineering of their stride to get the benefits from chi running.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's that time period? What's your typical, you know, what's the cycle look like?
Well, you know, what happens is, you know, a lot of people, most people read the book or, you know, buy our DVD, and then they'll try it, and then what a lot of people do is they just come to a class. They try to find a class near them or something like that because we have enough people around that there's one somewhere, you know,
right.
in a city nearby. And then they come to get checked out to make sure they got it right. But what happens is that some people are very connected with their body, and so they can sense what's going on with their body much more clearly than some people who have kind of a block with it. You know,
right.
You can tell that, and when you watch people run, you know, some people get it right away, some people take a long time to get it, but they would take a long time to get almost anything physical, whether you teach them tennis or whether anything. They just, you know, they have less of a connection with their moving center, and that's
yeah.
not a good or a bad thing. It's just, it's like I don't have a connection with, you know, calculus.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I'm not involved with, so I'm not good at it. But it doesn't mean you can't learn it. And so some people can, one of my master instructors is a good example. I went and had a one-on-one session with him when I first met him. He got it like in the first half hour, and he really could do it within a week.
Right.
He absolutely like had it down in his body. He is really, really connected with his body in an almost an exceptional way. Now, some elite athletes that I've taught also have that same body connection, so they can adapt like pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But older runners, mid-pack runners, people who've just kind of fallen into running, they just run how they run, it is a bit of rearrangement because they're not necessarily sensing their body while they're always going out running. And
right.
Some elite athletes really do kind of pay more attention to what feels right and what doesn't feel right. And so it's really a matter of bringing people up to speed to start thinking about it, to start watching it, to start doing that. And that, you know, it's not just the practice that seems to be difficult for some people. It's just remembering to do it. It's just remembering that, okay, here's what I'm going to do when I go out and run today. I'd rather listen to my iPod, or I'd rather talk with my buddy, or I'd rather just run with my dog, or, you know, I run because I don't like to think that much, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. But if you really want to alter and improve the way that you run, it does take a certain amount of focus. And that's why, you know, some people can take a month. I think the slowest people might take 3 months.
You know, wow.
They're really, you know, and that's fine. However long it takes, that's how long it takes. The idea is to change.
Right, and
it doesn't matter how long it takes.
Yeah, and it's not absolute. It's a spectrum. So, you know, you're not going to go from A to B. There's a journey there, right? And even in the if you look at it for a week, you'll pick some things up. Like, I mean, I'm not a total converted acolyte of chi running, but I learned a lot from what you were talking about my own stride and worked it into my own program, right?
Yeah, and I'm still learning this thing. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I've been teaching it, you know, to everybody. And I am still finding new things and improving my form and learning about, you know, stride mechanics and my particular stride mechanics and stuff like that. So it is an ongoing process. It's not something you just learn and that's it. You, all of a sudden you got it and you're a great runner the rest of your life. It
yeah.
is something that really goes deeper and deeper. It's just like, you know, this is all based on Tai Chi and my practice of Tai Chi. And I'm, you know, my Tai Chi master, he's a grandmaster now from China. He'll be the first person to say, you know, I haven't mastered this. You know, and he's been doing it for 35 years. You know, and he'll say, you know, I haven't mastered Tai Chi. I'm working on it every day I go out there. I'm getting better at it, though. You know,
right,
so
right.
That's the idea, is to use it more as a practice than a sport. That's how I want people to approach it.
Right.
You know, if they're running.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, the other thing that I hear from people who have gone through your book is they say, you know, you're talking too much about chi and not enough about running, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to those folks?
Well, what I say to those folks is that in order to improve your running, you need to understand at least, if you want to run at a different level, you got to understand what it takes to run at a different level, and it's not always just about running. The interesting thing about Tai Chi is that it works a lot with your alignment, with being able to relax your muscles, with being able to loosen your joints. Now, that's applied in Tai Chi, but it's applied across the board to any sport. So what I do in the first four chapters of the book is I try to lay out, here is the background information that will help make more sense when you actually get into doing the running, so that you have reasons for doing what you're doing. So I don't just use Tai Chi, I use a lot of physics.
Right.
You know, so that people, because what I want people to do is to really understand why they're doing what they're doing. I'm not just like saying, okay, do this. Okay, you know, bend your knees. Okay, now swing your arms a little better. You know, it's not just here, do this and this will improve. It's more like, how is somebody going to remember why it's important that they do that if they don't have a reason? And so
right.
I lay out very carefully, here's what it's founded in. Here's the mechanics and the physics and the body knowledge that I have brought out of not only my knowledge of physics, but Tai Chi and my years of being an ultra runner. So I kind of combined it all. One thing we've tried to do is use as little actual Tai Chi lingo as possible. I really just took the Tai Chi principles and put them into regular English.
Right.
So it's not like woo-woo stuff, you know. If somebody reads it, with a lot of physicists have read that and says, you know, I love this book because it just talks all about applied physics.
Right, and the part where I think you're spot on is the, and what resonated for me was the, you know, call it what you want, but it's the mind-body connection you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Because that's
yep.
so absolutely true for me.
It's not
when I'm
body.
Running,
yeah.
I can
yeah.
sense my body, and I can control what my body does internally.
Absolutely.
With my mind when I'm running, and I realized that way before I, you know, read your book,
yeah.
and was practicing that.
Yeah. So when I talk about the mental side, you know, if, you know, people want to learn, they want to learn it without all the mental focuses. Well, I'll tell you one thing: you won't get better if you don't have a mental focus. You know, because otherwise it's just pure physical training. You know,
yeah.
you have to learn how to combine your mind and your body, and you can ask any Olympic athlete. on any level, any sport, you know, if it's just body, if it's all physical, and none of them, I guarantee none of them will say it's all physical.
Right, and that being said, though, a lot of your teachings in terms of form, I was able to teach myself through, you know, the 30 years I've been running, right?
Uh-huh.
I was able to adopt more and more of those as I took on more speed work and more tempo, yeah. and it really came to fruition in my ultra running,
right.
Where I'm able to run lightly down the hills, because I'm a big guy, I'm 190 pounds, right?
Well, uh-huh.
And if I heel strike down those hills, I'm going to just, you know, I'm not going to make it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that being said, I like the mind-body connection and the form that is really valuable for especially somebody big like me.
Yeah, and what happens is when you start doing mind-body work, it doesn't just help your running. It helps your mind-body connection, period, across the board, all day. You know,
yeah.
Whether you're sitting down trying to write an article or whether you're doing an interview or whether you're driving your car or whatever it is. But if I just teach somebody just running focuses, that's what they'll come away with is just running focuses. And so we turned it into a practice that then expands into the rest of your life. That's the idea.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying in terms of form, what I noticed was that, you know, if you're trying to run a 9-minute mile with a, you know, for me with a 4-foot strike, that's going to be impossible.
Uh-huh.
You know, because my 4-foot or my mid-foot strike form is by definition a 7:30 pace, right? You
uh-huh.
see what I'm saying? It's much more efficient. So the speed work on the track really helped me with that form, you know what I'm saying? As mechanical as that sounds.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're really doing speed work, if you're doing any kind of distance and speed work, it's so important that you stay on your midfoot. And if you're sprinting, you go on to your forefoot a little bit more.
Right.
The number of sprinters that I come across is, you know, microscopic compared to the average runners, number of average runners. I mean, sprinters
right.
are just a very tiny, small piece of running, really.
Yeah.
And most people just run. And so
yeah.
if you're just out there running, you don't want to be on your forefoot. You really want to be on your midfoot, and you definitely don't want to be on your heels, you know.
Right.
So we just gear everything around, you know, regular distance running. And so, you know, even the Kenyans that are running marathons are all midfoot strikers.
Yeah, yeah, and it just comes naturally when you get to that pace. It just comes naturally. You just
yeah.
it's the most efficient way to run at your whatever your natural pace is.
Yeah,
so
if you're very aware of what your body feels like when it's running more efficiently. See,
right.
But if you're not aware, then you need to be taught how to get there. You know, so
yeah.
you can feel that. That comes naturally to some people, but other people it really doesn't come naturally to. You know, so they need to learn the tools and the little tips, and here's how to set yourself up with good posture. Here's really how to work with your core, run with your core muscles, not your legs.
Yep.
That's the whole idea I'm trying to train people is how to like not use your legs for propulsion. That's like inefficient. You know, you really got to be using your core muscles, which
yeah. Yeah.
Then operate your legs on down, but your core muscles along with your leaning so that you're falling forward, you know.
Yeah, and if you're doing it right, it feels like you're almost disconnected from your legs and you're riding sort of a magic carpet and you're just gliding
that's
along.
That's exactly what it feels like. It's like you're on one of those things at the airport, one of those moving runways at the airport, you know.
Yep.
You're just moving along.
Yep.
And
yep.
a lot of times I'll pass a mile or two before I even realize that, you know, wow, where was I? You know, I just ran 2 miles. I didn't know, you know, I all of a sudden wake up somewhere down the road and I go, I didn't even feel that.
Yeah.
So
you've got this, so you're branching out. You're essentially franchising the Qi running concept. You said you have like 100 people worldwide or something? How's
yeah,
that work?
They don't really franchise. It's not the same as a franchise because they're pretty independent instructors. But what they do is they, we have an option with our instructors that they, if they advertise their workshops, we have a standard class that everybody should teach. We kind of train them how to teach a regular class, and then an introductory class. And then, you know, we have a deal with them where they can advertise, they can decide to hold a class in their area. Say somebody in Seattle wants to have a class, they say we want to have a class here, and so we make a deal where we advertise it on our website, because everybody goes to our website to find a class.
Yeah.
and they come to our website, and we handle all the fees and all the taking the money, and we pay the instructor out of whatever they get, however many people they get. We give them a huge percentage. We just take a small, like a little percentage, just to put it up on the website, what it costs us to do that, administrative fee. But they really get most of the money from the classes. And then what we do is they sell products for us, because it's really, you know, we want them to be able to make a living doing what they do. And they also get a percentage off of what products they sell, but we get also, you know, we make our money a lot off of our products, not as much off of our instructors.
So by product, you're saying the books and the DVDs?
Books and DVDs, yeah. And we have an audio thing that's audio lessons. And that's walking and running. And we have Qi Walking now, too, that's been out for 2 years.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Oh, it's doing really well. And in fact, there was a guy that approached me recently about starting doing Qi Golf, and I wanted to combine, you know, all the folks that I'm doing into golf. And then we're also going to combine the walking in with the golf, because you got to do something between shots.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I was on a business trip down in Pennsylvania someplace, and I went into a Gold's Gym to hop on the treadmill, do some speed work.
Yeah.
And one of the buttons on the treadmill was 18 holes.
Really?
That was one of the programs. Yeah. I thought to myself,
for 3 minutes every.
I don't know, because I was doing speed work. Yeah. I was doing speed work, so my thought was, I'm on the wrong treadmill.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Well, that's wild. So it's got lots of applications. The thing with walking is that there is a huge market in walking. I mean, so much bigger than running.
Oh, because because of the demographics in America right now and the developed countries.
Baby boomers want to stay healthy for the rest of their lives. People, I mean, there's such an obesity problem in the country and across the world. It's getting to be. And all the doctors, all the medical people are saying, get out and walk. And so a lot of people then jump out and start walking, and they get injured right away because they're not used to, like, you know, they got a desk job, or they just haven't not used to being physical or whatever. And so these walking classes are doing real well. And people want to learn how to do it right so they can actually, because if you get injured and you're really sunk, you want to try to lose weight when you're injured, it's really hard. You know?
Yeah, well, just give me the 20 words on lesson and what exactly a Qi walking form would be. I mean, I understand the mind-body connection is going to be the same, but then what's the form?
Well, the form is really, it looks somewhat similar to race walking, in that if you watch a race walker, he will, race walkers don't take big, long strides when they walk, no matter how fast they walk.
Yeah.
They take a bunch of little strides, a bunch of just reasonable strides. You know, they're not reaching. It's not like power walking. There was a big kick on power walking where people were just marching like really huge steps. And they're just coming down with all kinds of lower leg injuries. And so we have a shorter stride. We have people really still working to engage their core muscles, because that core strength is what is really important. If you're overweight, if you're aging, if you want to keep good balance the rest of your life, you know, it's so important to keep strengthening and keeping those core muscles healthy and using them. So we have a lot of people leveling. We have you level your pelvis, which is engaging your core muscles while you're walking. So it holds your upper body a little bit more forward than how most people walk. You watch most people walk, they just lead with their hips.
I get it.
Kind of back. And so you get them forward, you have to be using your core muscles to keep your upper body forward. Well, that also engages gravity a little bit. So when you're walking, you have a little bit of a forward lean. And it's safer on your knees because you're more over your point of impact than when you're normally walking. Most people, when they're walking, lead with their legs and hips, and so that leg goes out in front of them. Almost everybody, and you can check this out, almost everybody extends their front leg out in front and locks their knee and hits with their heel. Okay? So what we're trying to do is get people to bend their knees, stay over their feet, so when their foot comes down on the ground, they're not hitting on the back of their heel, they're hitting more on the front of their heel. And your stride doesn't open in front of you, it opens behind you, just like what we're trying to do with running.
No, I get it. I get it, because it's just like race walking. I get it.
Yep.
I'll tell you a funny story. I was doing, there's a race up here in January that I do, It was a 10K. I was injured, so I was running kind of slow. And the woman next to me, I turned around and I said, "Man, you got a really funny stride. It almost looks like you're walking." It was Joanne Dow, the Olympic race walker.
Yeah.
So
she's doing a six-minute pace.
She was doing a seven-minute pace, right?
Yeah, right.
So she goes, "That's because I am walking. I'm an Olympic race walker." So
I was beaten a 10K by a walker once. Scary.
So there's that. And by the way, you talked about running with your dog. I think my dog is a chi runner. You should do a dog chi running book.
I think I will.
I think he comes to it naturally.
Yeah, they do. And you know, it's interesting because some dogs come to it naturally, just like people. Some dogs come to it naturally, and some dogs don't. You go take a bulldog for a walk.
Yeah.
A run. They don't run.
Yeah.
They don't know how to run because you know why? Because their legs are too far apart. Sideways, side to side, you know.
Yeah, they're not.
Like it's too far from their left leg.
Yeah.
And then because they have that wide stance, they can't really run along a nice center line, you know.
Yeah.
I watch my dog run. She's a real runner, too. She's, you know, built kind of like a greyhound, but she's a hound, you know. And so they're built to just run all day. And her feet, like a horse, right underneath her center line.
Yep.
And I watch these little tiny dogs with stubby legs, and they kind of got to hop, you know, like a rabbit. They got to kind of run with both legs at a time.
Yeah.
And it's real different. And my dog's chest is huge, you know, and so it's her center of mass is in front of her point of contact every time it hits the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So her balance is always forward. She's using gravity, too.
Yeah, I got a border collie, so he's a tremendously efficient runner. He just lopes.
Oh, yeah. And they can go all day.
Yeah.
No. This dog is a plod hound. They're bred to hunt bear in North Carolina. And so they're just born to run all day, all night, whatever it takes, you know. And it's amazing to watch the mechanics of a really good, efficient dog. And wolves, they say wolves can cover 25 square miles in a day.
Yeah, exactly. It's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it if it was tiring.
What's that?
They wouldn't do it if it was tiring.
Yeah, exactly. But so I'll tell you my funny chi running story from the day I bought your book when I had my knee injury, right?
Yeah.
So I went out in the woods that day saying, okay, I'm going to keep my head high, look forward, you know, get my good form,
yeah.
You know, and I'm running. And I stepped in a gopher hole because I wasn't watching. I was trying to keep my head up, and I wrenched my other knee.
Oh, my God. Oh really? You wrenched a good one.
I ended up laying on my back, you know, with the dog looking down at me saying, boy, what an idiot you are. So.
Well, there's a trick to that, and I tell people, you know, you got to learn how to run tall, but not straight upright, you know.
Right, but you still got to watch where you're putting your feet.
But, yeah, what you need to do is then work on your peripheral vision so you can look up but also see down, you know, at the same time, which is really good for you. It increases your peripheral vision so you don't get, like, you know, tunnel vision as you get older. But that works. When I'm running trails, I only look down if I'm really going through a major root system or something like that.
Most
of the time I rely on my peripheral vision, and it helps.
Yeah, and like I said, I just did my first ultra less than 2 weeks ago. I did a 50 miler, and
what was it?
Vermont.
Oh, the Vermont, yeah.
Yeah, and it's if I hadn't, you know, made improvements to my form over the years. Because I was a heel striker in cross country in high school, you know.
Uh huh.
If I hadn't made improvements in my form over the years, I probably wouldn't have survived that.
Oh yeah, they carry a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultra running is really a way to learn how to run efficiently, or else you just don't last long.
Right, you get injured.
Yeah, you get injured.
Knees and stuff. All right, well, this has been tremendous. I'm so happy to have talked with you, Danny.
Oh, great. I love talking with you. It's great.
And we'll stay in touch, and I'll try to see if we can do something else together at some point.
Maybe
I should go take a class.
Well, you know, we have a great teacher in Boston now.
Do you? Who is it?
Yeah, he works at New Balance, in fact.
Okay.
His name's Ryan Miller, and you know, if anybody listening to your podcast wants to find an instructor, you just go to our website and click on workshops. And a little drop-down menu will say, find an instructor. And so you can just click right there and find his name, and you're set to go.
Yeah, because it sounds to me it's almost like yoga, you know, where I tried to teach myself yoga and was horribly unsuccessful because you just can't do it without an instructor.
And sometimes it helps to get checked out, make sure you're doing it right, especially something as injury prone as running, you really want to make sure you're doing it right. Yeah. So, and you know, we've also got lots and lots of articles on all aspects of running on the website, too. So
yep.
We want it to be a good informative kind of place for people to go and get any information they need.
Yeah, it's nice and clean. It's not too busy. I'm looking at it right now, and it's www.chiwalking.com.
Yeah, and the Chi Walking is just the same thing, chiwalking.com. So
all right.
If you're a runner, people can get some help.
All right, I'm going to grab my bag and go down to the gym here and see if I got any speed left in my leg. Yep.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, folks, I know I'm short on time here, but let me talk a little bit about this topic. I talk a lot about speed work, and it's really... It's not because of the effort. It's not like your high school gym teacher yelling at you to work harder. Speed work is important. Tempo work is important, not just for strengthening, but also for form. It'll help you re-engineer your form. And so I'm going to challenge you to go out and try some tempo work. You're going to find that it changes your stride and changes your mechanics for the better. But you got to give it some time, because the first week you do it, maybe work one tempo workout into your week on like a Wednesday night or something down at the track where you can measure how far you're going, how fast you're going, and you know you don't have to worry about anything else except your form. Think about it this way. Think about it in terms of learning about your stride, and don't think about it in terms of effort. What you want to do is you want the first week it's going to hurt, it's going to feel terrible, it's going to feel very unnatural, just like anything else. And then the second week it's still not going to be much better. But then by the third week, if you're doing it consistently, it should start to feel better and you should start to work into a groove as your body learns the mechanics of running faster. And don't focus on the effort. Focus on the form. So when it gets hard, focus on relaxing. Instead of trying harder, focus on relaxing and running better. What you want to do is you want to run relaxed. You want to have your heels kicking up behind you. You want to lean forward a little bit, hold your hands high, hold your eyes head high. You want to be almost like you're pulling the track towards you with your feet, rolling off the midfeet. And just do that. When you start to get stressed by the effort level in your laps, instead of just trying harder and bearing down, try to relax and stretch out, lengthen your stride. It's going to make your, by definition, it's going to make you more stretchier, and it's going to lengthen your stride and make you stronger. And you'll learn that pace, and you'll be able to use that pace in your running, that light, fast pace of tempo. And it's very important. It's not about effort. You know, it's about the form, and it's about the mechanics, and it's about trying to listen to your body and feel what it does in that kind of form. And if you want to know the form you're looking for, get some video of a good runner, a good marathoner, and play that video, something like a Joan Benoit, you know, a Bill Rogers or one of those famous finishes, and look at their stride, look at their form, and see how fluid it is. That's what you want to try to emulate. You're trying to visualize that while you're running. So give it a try, and let me know how it works out. Okay, folks, that's it. Episode 31 in the can. And so that's it, man. I'm going to go running tonight. I ran at lunch, but I just did some speed work. So I'm going to go out and do some easy stuff with the club tonight. Run with my buddies, get the dog out in the dark with the headlamps. And then this weekend, no racing. But I'm going to go to a brunch run at my friend Devin's house with the club. Devo, shout out. So what else is going on, man? Oh, I got a tune for you here. I was searching for something zen, and the search capabilities on the PodSafe Music Network are pretty pitiful. So I found a song by Johnny Citizen, and it's called Beautiful and Tragic. And when I listened to it, I really liked it. It's very melodic and haunting. It's got some Slavic in the background, so I liked it. And here we go, baby. We are right on time. We'll see you out there, folks. Have a great week.
I'm on the way to your place.
listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.